1976 Tops number 582, Mike Kekich. In late 1969, hoping to find, at least for a day, a widening of what had become for her an unhappily narrow life, my mother boarded a charter bus from my birthplace, Willingboro, New Jersey, to a peace march in Washington, D.C. I don't remember that day, but I was there, in my father's arms, as my mother waved down to us in the parking lot from her seat on the bus. I was probably crying. I imagine that my father, an absent-minded sociologist, was holding me like an absent-minded sociologist might hold an unraveling, unabridged dictionary. My brother, a little older, was probably confused. Where's Mommy going? My father's last words to my mother that day, so I'm told, were instructions to watch out for rock-throwing thugs hired by the power elite to discourage political dissent. "That's my husband," my mother announced pointedly as the bus pulled away from the two young children clinging to the man in the button-down shirt and horn-rimmed glasses. These were her first words to the stranger sitting next to her. By the time she had boarded the bus, it was very full, and she'd gone up and down the aisle twice, looking in vain to find an empty seat next to a woman. Finally, she had given up and sat down in the only available seat, next to the young man with the scruffy, fledgling beard, hair to his shoulders, and round John Lennon specs. The bus ride took a few hours. The young man beside her, Tom, was a good talker. He told her stories of battling forest fires in Alaska, and of tripping on Owsley acid in an Oregon forest of giant ancient redwoods, and of crisscrossing the country on a BMW motorcycle. He had blue eyes. He had delicate hands. He had a flask of brandy under his soft wool poncho. By 1973, the number of my parents had grown from 2 to 3. Tom shared a bedroom with Mom, while Dad slept on a foam mat in a room down the hall. They all believed it was better to blaze a new trail rather than follow the old corrupt paths that led to lies and napalm.